Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 31st of May, Anno Domini 2013 and 14. And you, living in the past, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. 7 weeks after the bug put the web on high alert, Heartbleed is still causing problems. A new report from Portuguese security researcher Luis Granjea describes how the same bug could be used over Wi-Fi to enable new attacks that build on the same vulnerability. Dubbed Cupid, the new line of attack would perform the same Heartbleed procedure over Wi-Fi instead of the open web, either pulling data from enterprise routers or using a malicious router to pull data from Android devices as they connect. In each case, the attacker would be able to view snippets of the working memory from the targeted device, potentially exposing user credentials, client certificates, or private keys. Granjea published a proof of concept of the bug earlier and is urging vendors and administrators to upgrade their devices. It's still unclear how many devices are vulnerable, but the damage is likely to be much more contained than Heartbleed. The most vulnerable targets are EAP-based routers that require both an initial login and a password, a solution often found in wireless LANs. In those cases, an attacker could use Heartbleed to pull a private key from the router or authentication server, effectively bypassing any security measures. Granjea says he hasn't done enough testing to estimate how many of those routers are running vulnerable configurations. Most importantly, the attack could only target devices within Wi-Fi range, seriously limiting the potential targets. This particular variant of the attack might be slower to close, but it should not be nearly as widespread as the original bug, since the universe of vulnerable devices is lower. Another concern is Android devices running the 4.1.1 version of Jelly Bean, which are known to be vulnerable to the bug. In a router-based attack, the attacker would often open Wi-Fi signal and then perform the Heartbleed attack to pull data from any connected devices. It's a new line of attack, leaving many Android devices newly vulnerable. As of last month, millions of devices were still running 4.1.1, including several variations of the HTC One. Many were updated in the wake of the attack, but others may still be vulnerable. More broadly, it's a reminder that the security world is still working through the various effects of Heartbleed. Even after the central servers have been patched, researchers can discover more obscure attacks that go after less obvious targets. Vulnerable services like OpenSSL and TLS were widely used, leaving a broad range of potential targets. The web and email are the biggest users of TLS, but by no means the only one, and unpatched implementations are at risk from Heartbleed. Most modern systems will have upgraded to a Heartbleed-proof version of OpenSSL by now. There's always the concern that some access points will remain unpatched. As for the broader impact of Heartbleed, Errata Security founder Robert David Graham estimates only half of the damage is cleaned up, suggesting Cupid may be the least of the community's problems. We will see important Heartbleed hacks for years, Graham said. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. The Heartbleed attack is back, threatening Androids and routers. And your choices are, I'm very worried, I've updated my router, I'm concerned, I don't worry about this stuff, and Apple forever. So far, we've got 30 votes in, and I'm concerned is ahead, followed by I don't worry about this stuff, which pretty much brackets our entire audience. So look, give us a call. Oh, and don't forget, I know that some of you will have much more to say about this. So check out the forums. 31 May 14, the Heartbleed attack is back, threatening Androids and routers. And give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
That's always the problem with researchers is they keep researching.
Exactly. It's not necessarily a horrible thing that this has been discovered because it's one more whole block. But the issue is going to be, does everybody block? The big issue, of course, if it's 4.1.1 jelly bean, then you have to wait for your phone maker to fix the version of jelly bean they've put out. Then you have to wait for your carrier to decide you deserve that upgrade and send it to you.
But Google has fixed it in their jelly
Google
bean.
Has yeah. fixed it. Google
so
has
that's
fixed
the first
it.
Step.
Yeah. Right. Google had a fix out right away. The question is, have you been upgraded? And in fact, I'm going to look at my phone right now and see what my story is.
There were a couple of websites that would test, Heartbleed.com will test if a specific server is still vulnerable to the Heartbleed bug vulnerability. I said bug right there and I couldn't think of the word.
Right there in his on screen.
Yep.
Yeah, no, matter of fact, I got to go take mine after and see about getting the screen replaced.
What happened? Oh, I saw it last week.
Yeah, dropped it.
Yep.
And it's all trouble. It was just in the corner, up in the upper left-hand corner. Okay, I got a plastic thing on it. It'll stay up there.
Yeah.
Nah.
It's been creeping.
It's got a mind of its own.
Yeah.
It keeps going, spreading like a spider web.
Yeah.
And speaking of bugs, LastPass has a website that will check if your email address was leaked in the Adobe vulnerability. 150 Adobe accounts were lost a few months ago. And Adobe was quick to point out, no, it's okay, they're encrypted. But they weren't salted. So everybody's encryption is exactly the same. And so that's how they've been able to figure out, 300,000 people used 123456 as their password. Monkey was dropping on the list. It's not as popular as it used to be.
Oh.
But the problem is, in fact, I didn't see it. Did you have the note about iOS Find My iPhone hack?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I do. I know I looked at it yesterday. I don't know if it made the top six.
Well, what I think has happened is because so many people use the same credentials across websites, the Adobe...
Oh, yes.
The Adobe vulnerability was huge, 150 million user accounts. And a lot of people who signed up for an Adobe account were just downloading trials or downloading updates. Some people actually buy stuff from Adobe and had their credit card information in it. So a lot of people didn't put much effort into securing their password. And the big problem is the password hint is in plain text. And so, somebody's password was, my dog's name. Or somebody's password rhymes with
city you grew up in or whatever.
Well,
very common ones.
And a lot of people put the password in the hint. The password is.
Mm-hmm.
So now you know what the password is. You know what the encryption comes up with. You look for that same encryption in the rest of the database.
Right.
You know what someone else's password is. And then you go to their Amazon login and try that same password. You go to their Apple login, try that same password. And many times it will work on other websites because most people use the same password on multiple websites. And your email address is always used on all websites.
Right.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. So they don't even have to guess that anymore because there's so many email addresses out.
Well, it's the easiest way to get a unique
thing
because all email addresses are unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get that, but I've been telling people for years, make the security question work for you.
Right.
If the security question is, what's your favorite TV show? The answer should be 56 Chevy Bel Air.
Yeah. Not some. What's your favorite color? Dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's got to be totally the... it's so easy.
The problem is most people don't remember their answers years later. In fact, I'm having a problem with
that's why there's things like LastPass.
Right. I'm having a problem with my Apple ID. I know my password, but I don't remember my questions. So I can't change my password.
I just ran into that, and you've got to send a notifier.
You got to call
Apple. No. I did...
There's a recovery email address.
No.
But my recovery email address is spelled wrong. Rochester is spelled wrong. So I can't get my second email address.
No, I did it on my original email address for iTunes.
Yeah.
It had me verify it.
Yep.
And then it let me go back in and said, okay, within there you can change your security.
Right.
So I had to go back in there. And that's one thing I was surprised about iTunes. Matter of fact, I just did it yesterday. So I went in and tried to change security, and I couldn't remember, like you.
Yeah.
It said, all right, we're sending you another verification. You got to click on that to go back into that account. It did, and I had to reset my password. And there, they're getting very clever. They've got certain stipulations on passwords. You know, it's got to have at least a capital, and it's got to have this, and it's got to have that to make it strong. And they're monitoring it and letting you know how strong that it is or weak. And then underneath it, you can reselect and answer your security questions. Because I had one down there, and it said street you grew up on.
Well, and
I put that in, and it said, no, you're wrong.
Right. So you lied, but you don't remember how you lied.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's why I put all that stuff in KeePass or LastPass. So even the questions and the answers that I used are in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the importance of something like KeePass. You get that whole, or LastPass, you get that whole section of notes. Use them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all important now. And until they get two-factor authentication, where like Google does, where it'll call your phone with a pass number, until they're all doing that,
Apple does do that for your Apple ID, but you have to turn it on.
Right, and you have to turn it on for Google too.
Yep.
But you know, and I've turned it on everywhere that they offer it because I'm never without my phone, and it makes it so much more secure, because unless somebody steals my phone
and my password,
they can't get in.
That's pretty hard.
Yeah.
But so the biggest thing we can recommend is don't use the same password on multiple sites, because the site will be compromised and your password could get loose, and then all of your other sites are now vulnerable.
And I have people who tell me, oh, I always add the name of the site in the password. No, that's one of the first things they check for. So if they get that, now they know what algorithm was used to encrypt your password. Now they have your whole password.
And they can get into your Amazon account, your PayPal account, your bank account.
They're golden.
Right. Yep. And so don't use the name of the site in the password. You know, people are, it's amazing to me. I work with some people who have phenomenally high IQs, brilliant people in their fields. Mm-hmm. You ask them to pick a password, and they freeze.
They blank out, yeah.
They look like little birds facing a snake. They have no idea what to do. It's just a password.
And almost every OS has a password suggestion thing.
Right.
And LastPass and KeePass and Keychain, they will suggest passwords for you, too.
Right. Make it, just all you have to do is make it fairly long and fairly complex. Capital letters, lowercase letters, numbers, symbols, that stuff should be in there.
Yeah, long, because of the way math works, long is better than complex. So if you used a long sentence, that's can be okay, unless it's a famous movie quote. Was it the Adobe breach? One of the breaches showed that there is no fate but what we make is a very common password.
Right.
Because that's a famous quote from the Terminator movie.
Right.
But it's really, really long, so it's secure, right?
But it's not, because it's so popular.
It's so popular and so well known, they know people use it.
For a while, and I don't use this anymore, and it's not part of any of my passwords, so you don't have to worry about it. One password I used was, where does that staircase go? It goes up. Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Not a common quote.
Yep.
Not one that anybody else would know. I stopped using it because now I have a whole different algorithm that I use. But there you are. All right. To the phones. Our first caller this week is Sal from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Sal. What's up?
The whole breach and security on the iPhones and iPads.
Yeah.
And one of the easiest fixes would have been for someone to just reset that phone. Just, you know, you plug it into your computer and just go back to factory settings and then change your passwords around and download from like an iCloud backup or your computer backup.
Well, and what was happening is it started in Australia, but it worked its way across the world, is that people were waking up one morning and their iPhone said it was locked by this other guy and it was a ransom. You know, pay me $100 and I'll unlock it for you.
Right.
And Apple was quick to point out that their servers were not hacked. Someone guessed the username and password.
Right.
And once you log into your iCloud account on the web, you can find your phone if it's missing. You can lock your phone if it got stolen. And so that's what this hacker did. And so the one fix for that can be to just reset your phone. The problem comes into play with iOS 7. And if you have Find My iPhone turned on and your phone gets stolen, it cannot be used by the thief even after a hard reset without the Apple ID and password.
That's true.
So it makes it harder for the thieves to use phones, which is supposed to limit theft, but it also makes it harder for you to get your phone back under your control if your username and password gets lost.
Right. Two things that you really should do is stop using the same password on multiple sites, and secondly, enable two-factor authentication. And Apple has a knowledge base question.
I already posted it.
Oh, there you go. On that one. And that's a second layer of security, because if you had that actually running, then the people who stole your information would actually have to enter that code in order to get access to the phone. But that code went to the phone they don't have access to yet.
So if your phone suddenly pops up and said, here's your security code, someone's trying to break into your account.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what's a great password is if you take two words that you like commonly, but you interlace the words, so like every other letter is from the other word.
That's useful, but you still need capitals, numbers, symbols.
Then you throw in the capitals, and you pick a place where you normally would put numbers, and then throw in a couple characters at the end. And like Steve said, you know, multiples. Even if you put the same character five more times at the end, it makes it very long. So you have a great password at that point.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, that was one of GRC's early suggestions, is you have an 8 or 10 character password, put in 10 periods. Now you have a 20 character password.
Yeah,
exactly, which would then take a few trillion years to break.
Yeah.
Right. All right, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina Francesco, and you, 22 minutes after the hour. Soundbites on Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 27 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We already heard the story about the Apple...
Oleg Pliss.
Oleg Pliss was the guy's name.
The name that kept popping up.
Yeah. It's interesting.
And he only wanted $100. Yeah, most ransomware is $300 or $400.
No, some people he was asking $50. Listen, for those of you who don't know the story, owners of Apple devices started across Australia, but as Steve said, it went around the world, are having their iDevices digitally held for ransom by hackers demanding payment before they will relinquish control. One iPhone user, a Fairfax Media employee in Sydney, said she woke at 4 a.m. on Tuesday to a loud lost phone message that said Oleg Pliss had hacked her phone. She was instructed to send $50 to a PayPal account to have it unlocked. It is likely hackers are using the unusual name as a front to get money from people. They have found a few Oleg Plisses out in the world, but none of them seem to have anything to do with anything.
I was thinking of Snake Plissken.
Yeah, right. users who have a passcode on their device appear to be able to unlock it after the hacker has sent the message, but those who had not set a passcode are unable to. A Melbourne Apple user reported the issue affecting their iPad. I was using my iPad a short while ago when suddenly it locked itself. I went to check my phone, and there was a message on the screen saying that my device has been hacked by Oleg Pliss, and he, she, they demanded $100 sent by PayPal to lock404@hotmail.com to return them to me. I have no idea how this has happened. A PayPal spokesrobot said that there was no PayPal account linked to the email address the hacker used. It added that any money that had been sent by victims would be refunded. So, PayPal's actually stepping up. Well done, PayPal. I'm very impressed with those. Those with iPhones said they've been calling their local. That can't be good. Calling their local.
It bypasses the mute when you have your find mode on.
Sorry, it's okay. Those with Apple said they've been calling their carriers. Some have been calling Apple directly. Vodafone said iPhone can't be hacked, which is incorrect.
Well, technically true. You're not hacking the iPhone. You're hacking the Apple ID account.
Well, but it's you're right. But it's not about the iPhone at all.
Yeah.
Telestra said that it's an Apple issue. Apple said they're looking into it. As is often the case, web users largely use the same password across multiple online services, meaning their password is compromised in a breach at one firm, and they do not change it everywhere else. Their other accounts become vulnerable. Two-factor authentication can be enabled on Apple accounts, and Steve has a post on that on the website. It acts as a second layer of security by making users have to enter a code that is sent to their mobile device before they're granted access to their account. Now, that's not going to happen every time you use your phone. It's going to happen when you try to do something to change the account information. So normally you would never even see that code. But it's a second layer of security in case somebody tries to hack you. So do you have two-factor authentication on your Apple account? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. That's why I've turned it on for my Android phone. It's why I've turned it on for various Google services. If I had an iDevice, I would certainly turn it on for that. This whole idea of two-factor authentication means you've got to know not only your password. You got to have your password, which is something you know, but you also have to have your phone, which is something you have. And the likelihood that someone is going to be able to steal both is very, very small.
That sound better?
Yeah, the music is still very low.
Yeah, I don't know what's with that.
So give me a high sign when it starts the music. At any rate, we apologize for the levels. We're working on that.
Yeah.
But that really is a kind of a special feature that you should all take advantage of, that multi-factor, two-factor authentication. I wish every website had it. I wish everything had it.
But that's the whole trouble. So folks want things fast and easy.
Right.
Fast and easy. If they have to think too much, forget it.
And I get it. You don't want to put a lock on your phone because you want to be able to use your phone immediately. You don't want to put a lock on your tablet because you want to be able to use your tablet immediately.
Mm-hmm. And how
really
many times?
That.
Yeah, how many times have some, you know, even a friend said, "Well, can I borrow your phone?" And you unlock it and hand it to them.
Right.
Where they can look up stuff and.
Right. Right. It used to be you want to borrow my phone. What's the worst you could do? You could steal my phone.
Yeah.
Now you can steal all my contacts.
Mm-hmm.
All my stuff.
Email stuff
everything,
out of there.
We do our lives out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody grabs your phone, says, "Let me go just make a phone call. Let me step away. It's a private call." And then they send something through your Twitter account or through your whatever. I tell people, no. I'm sorry, no. Who do you want to call? I'll call them for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Happy to do that. Not going to do anything else. Am I a jerk? Yeah, most likely. I don't care.
You can live with that.
I can live with that. I really can. It is what it is. So you have to be a little more cynical than you used to.
It's so easy. I mean, our whole society is changing so much in the way we do so many things. You know what I mean? You've got to use a little more caution. It's not like the old days. Like you say, you could just hand somebody your phone and what's the worst they do is they walk away with the phone.
Guy came up
call
to me
Taiwan
yesterday.
And leave it open for an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday I was walking around downtown. I had a meeting, and guy came out of Subway and said, "Hey man, you got a dollar? I'm short for a sandwich." I said, "Come on and I'll buy you a sandwich."
Wrong answer.
No, just give me a dollar. I only need a dollar. No, I'll be happy to buy you a sandwich. It'll be my pleasure.
Uh-huh.
I'll buy you a sandwich. I'll buy you a drink. I'll buy you chips.
Yeah.
Come on in. And then he said something that I can't repeat on the air and walked away. I would have been perfectly happy.
You broke his shtick.
I would have been perfectly happy to buy the man a sub.
Yeah, well,
happy and honored to do it.
I've gotten that a couple of times. You know, I need money for the payphone to call for a ride. Oh, let me call for you. What's the number?
Yep.
No. I need a dollar for the bus. Oh, where do you need to go? I'll take. No.
All right, the best one I've seen so far. Going on into work. People standing there over on Ridge Road and Lake Avenue. Okay, and they're standing there on the corner holding the sign. You know, need money out of work. Well, one day, the guy's standing there with that and is on his cell phone.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, wait a minute.
Got enough money for your cell phone.
If you can afford a cell phone.
I knew a guy many, many years ago in New York City who begged on the streets. He made more money than I did.
Oh, I hear stories about that, yeah.
Yeah, they did a thing here, Rochester, many years ago. One of the new celebrities dressed up like an old hobo and everything.
I saw him on the corner and I stopped. I said, what the hell? He said, don't blow my cover. I kept on driving.
And he made, I want to say, a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah.
In one day.
Oh, yeah. It's good money.
And it's like, whoa, you're serious? And he goes, couldn't believe it. They were doing, like you say, an undercover
If I looked
star.
Like I needed a meal, I might be tempted. Nobody would believe me holding a sign up said need food. But yeah, it's actually fairly big business.
And like I say, there's a regular group that rotate there on that corner.
I don't know. I really don't have
the... the fights over whose corner it is.
Well, I was just about to say, I don't know what it's like here in Rochester, but in New York, there was a war at one point over who owned what corners. Because some corners are much more lucrative than others. And there were shootings and deaths and everything over, you know, what beggar got what corner.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, it's that kind of money, particularly in New York.
Yeah.
So you can make $200 a day in Rochester. Think what you can make in New York.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Right? Just the nickels and dimes. Coinstar was the best thing that ever happened to them.
Yeah.
And look at, you know, like the subways and all that, your folks that play down there, just playing. You know, your street artists.
Street performers, yeah, artists. Yeah. Need a permit for that, though.
Well, not necessarily.
You don't need one until the cop comes along.
Exactly. I actually was on the Staten Island Ferry. A friend of mine lived out on the island. I was visiting him, and I got on the ferry, and I had my banjo with me back in the day before arthritis when I could play the banjo. And I was sitting and playing just for myself, just, you know, quietly playing, and I looked up, and there was like $20 in my case. And coming down toward me was the captain of the boat, very angry.
Uh-oh.
So I broke into a sea shanty, and he stopped, and he smiled. And I started to sing it, and he sang it along with me, and we sang two or three others, and he said, you're okay, and he went back upstairs.
Sung your way out of that one.
And left me, yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool.
Exactly. But it was, but I was shocked. I mean, I wasn't trying, I was just playing. Mm-hmm. I played every day because that's how you keep your chops up.
Yeah.
And I had a 40-minute ride, whatever it was. And I wasn't thinking about, the case was only open because the case was open. You know, I took my banjo out and just didn't close the case. But I made a decent amount of money. And so I played again on the way back and made more money. I went back every once in a while and played again.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that as long as the skipper is on your side.
Yeah. And like you say, you're not obnoxious, you know.
Right.
Some of them can really be. I've run into, but some of the street vendors, you know, like I say, are phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's like,
I've heard some astonishingly good music on the streets of Rochester, on the streets of New York. Saturday at the public market, there are always people playing now.
Oh, really?
And I'm sure there's a permit for that and blah, blah, blah. But,
oh, yeah.
They're out there playing.
Heaven forbid,
and for those of you who are on your way to the public market, Bob, drop a buck in a case once in a while. It's an important thing for the artist.
Go see the Beaten Queen?
Keep making a living. See the Beaten Queen.
Now, does she have her list of coffees on her website?
You'll have to ask her about that. That's not a subject I bring up very often anymore.
No, the only reason I ask is I had some folks in my small group ask about that. Oh, could you get the whole list? So I went to the Beaten Queen.
Yeah, it's not there.
All right, I'll talk to her. That way I can get in trouble. And
better you than me. I'll tell you that right now.
You think?
Yeah, I know. I have it all set up. All she has to do is fill out one page or just give me the list and I'll... Never mind. We're not going to go there. We're not going to go there at all. Instead, what we're going to do is take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. Give us a call. 966-5299, 800-790-0415. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we had a caller. What was her name?
Her name was Joan.
Joan. She wanted to point out that the money those folks make is generally tax-free.
Yeah.
Because they generally don't file their taxes.
And they're supposed to.
And they're supposed to, yeah.
Yeah, but where is the government going to find them?
Well, that's just it.
I mean, hello, one cardboard box away?
Right, exactly.
There's a spot on the long form where you fill in your gambling winnings and losses. So you can deduct your losses as long as you declare your winnings.
Nice.
But you have to keep receipts for everything.
Right.
Actually, anytime there's a big win, you know, there's an IRS guy standing there.
The government is right there, yeah.
Game shows. When you see, you know, Drew Carey, Bob Barker pass the guy off stage, here, go off stage there, because there's an IRS guy waiting for you.
That's exactly what's happening. And when they hand them those giant checks for lottery,
yeah,
the guy behind him is an IRS guy. There's no question. They get their cut.
Yep.
The government always gets their piece of the action.
Oh, heck yeah.
I read a neat little thing a while ago that when we were kids and we were homesick, we always spent the afternoon with Bob Barker.
Yeah. Yes. Spay and neuter our pets.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller, Howard from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Howard. What's up?
Hello, guys. Yeah. Question. You guys were talking about the key pass and key safe.
Yeah.
Could you just elaborate on what makes those safer and why hackers can't hack that and get everything that you put in there?
Well, yeah. Well, that's a very good question. KeyPass stays on your computer.
Okay.
LastPass is out on the web, but both of them are encrypted, and they've been shown to have fairly high and fairly secure encryption standards. There's no such thing, of course, as 100% secure, but both LastPass and KeyPass are heavily encrypted and therefore pretty secure. Breakable, but not in your lifetime.
Okay. So then if the one that stays on my computer, a person, if they crack my password, would they be able to get to my KeyPass?
Yes, absolutely. The key pass has its own separate password.
Yeah, you often can make it the same as your computer password, but you shouldn't.
Right. And yeah, no, that would be foolish.
Yeah, that's exactly. The one password you absolutely have to remember is the password for your passwords.
Right. So if you were to buy, it's free. If you were to download KeyPass and put all your passwords in it, you put the website, the username, your password, and then, of course, in that note field, you can put all the security questions or anything else you want to put in it because it's just text. And then you use a very secure password with that, something fairly long and numbers, letters, symbols, uppercase, blah, 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 blah. That's unique, that isn't used anywhere else. The chances of someone breaking that are ridiculously long. I mean, just hugely long.
Now, the cynical question, what is it in for KeyPass? How do they make money out of it then if they're giving this to me free? I don't mind paying for it, but if they're giving it free, what is it in for them?
Oftentimes, and it's the same issue with LastPass, they have a premium version that gives you more features that you pay a small fee for. KeyPass doesn't seem to have that. Everything is completely free.
Okay.
Some people just do that stuff because they're good people.
It needs to be done.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, that there, I was wondering because I was listening to it earlier, and I'm saying to myself, if I put all my eggs in one basket, and my basket gets broken into, then all my eggs are gone.
Yep. Right, absolutely right. But
so you want to have a good password on your device so that if someone gets physical access, it's harder. But we sort of say in the security industry is physical access, all bets are off. If someone has physical access to your computer, they can do anything they want and take as long as they need to break into it.
Well, that part I'm not too concerned with because it's just me and no one else with it, and I keep it with me. So
yep.
That. Okay, thanks a bunch, guys. I appreciate that insight.
Sure. And by the way, it's K-E-E pass, key pass. It's with two E's, not E-Y. All right.
And for Apple and iOS users, the keychain is built into the device, and you're already using it without knowing it. Your email password is stored in the keychain. Dave, you probably get a lot too. When someone comes in for service, you know they need help with their email. What's your password? Oh, I don't have to type one in.
Yeah.
Well, because your computer's remembering it for you in the password store in your computer.
Right. All right. I had one question come over to me, and it says, Dave, this is from Nan. She goes, what exactly is Apple TV? I'm tired of my cable bill. I am an Apple computer user, but technically knowledge is limited. Any insight would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, Nan.
There is a class of thing called set-top boxes, the little box that sits on top of your television. There's the Roku box, the Apple TV box, the new Amazon Fire TV box. Those Gary Busey ads are hilarious.
They're great.
It doesn't make me want to buy one, but the ads
are
hilarious.
They're great ads, though, yeah.
And basically, the set-top boxes are a way to get television content over the internet without having cable television or satellite television. So you still need an internet service, but you may be able to cut down on your cable TV bill or your satellite TV bill. The biggest thing you have to change your habit is you can't watch something live, you know, Sundays at 5, you know, the thing live. You generally have to wait a day or so for Apple TV and for Amazon TV for those shows to show up. Almost all of the electronic set-top boxes and even smart TVs themselves now will have a Netflix channel and sometimes a Hulu channel. And in many cases, you can watch a whole season of a TV show in one shot. Because it goes up on
Netflix. But it's the season that's passed.
Right. It's last season. Although both Netflix and Hulu are doing first run premiere shows. What was it? House of Cards.
Do not miss House of Cards.
And instead of releasing it one episode a week, which is the traditional broadcast model, they shot them all and released them all in one shot. So you can watch the whole thing in a weekend if you want.
And that's called binge watching.
Binge watching, yeah. And so a lot of times people are already using their DVR to watch the show they recorded last week, you know, 2 weeks ago. So we're sort of moving that way anyway to not watching things live. And a lot of people, and the term has become known as cord cutting, are cutting their cable TV bill and watching stuff over the internet. And if you do want to watch something live, you can get an antenna. If you're old enough to remember the antenna days, the rabbit ear days, you can get an antenna for high definition digital broadcast from all the local TV channels. So if you want to watch sports, live sports is usually the biggest thing. ESPN does have subscriptions, and the sports networks often have subscriptions on the web, so you can watch shows on the web. Apple TV does have several sports channels available as well. Each box has their own channels. The Apple TV. Most of the content comes from iTunes, but then they also have several dozen other channels. The Amazon Fire TV, most of their content comes from Amazon. The Roku box, they have a lot of different channels. I don't think they have anything exclusive, do they? But you can't get Amazon stuff on Roku, and you can't get Roku stuff on Apple TV. So it's each box in itself is kind of a little island, but most of the boxes have at least Netflix and Hulu, and many boxes have other channels too. So you know, say your cable bill is $200 a month. You know, you're getting a couple of premium channels. You can cut that down and just get internet service for $50-$60 a month. And then one of these set-top boxes, and then say Netflix is $8 a month, Hulu is $8 a month, and you're better off and lower cost than paying for that giant cable bill.
Right. And the issue there, of course, and if you do want to watch live sports, something like Major League Baseball has MLB.TV, which lets you watch every single game live, every out-of-market game.
Yeah, you still have that restriction that if it's blacked out in your city, so then you put a proxy server in and watch TV from you know, Atlanta.
But then you have the other issue, which is that many of the providers are beginning to slow down the stream from those alternative methods of watching television.
Yeah, people
because they also own the cable company. They want you to buy cable, so they make it harder for you to watch off cable.
Right. So that's Time here in Rochester, Time Warner, also owns TV studios and movie studios, and they're the cable provider. Comcast, really big out west, they own NBC and Universal, and they're trying to buy Time Warner.
Right.
And Verizon has been showed to block Netflix, and not block, but slow down Netflix.
Right. And so that's the whole thing behind net neutrality. The idea of net neutrality is that nobody ever slows anybody down because the internet is a public service. And so that's what the whole idea behind net neutrality is. You but don't get to slow me down or charge me more just because, oh, I'm using too much of your stream.
That's sort of falling apart in the industry. That's what we as consumers want. But we've already seen cases where Netflix is paying Comcast to deliver content to Comcast customers, even though Netflix has their own internet provider. Apple is trying to make deals with internet providers to make sure that iTunes content doesn't get slowed down. So that was the whole thing about net neutrality. We don't want anything slowed down based on where it's coming from. So the content providers, Netflix, Apple, Roku, may start having to pay extra to make sure it doesn't get slowed down.
Which they will then turn around and charge us.
Right, and that's what we don't want.
And let's face it, there's no lobby for us in Congress. You know, nobody's paying anybody to take our side. And I get that. That's the way that works. But there it is. Listen, we should probably go back to the phones. Our next caller is Jeff from Greece, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Good afternoon. I'm having a problem with a software program that runs in the background. It's called Coupon Companion Plugin, and it tends to work only when I have Firefox running. So a week ago, I uninstalled Firefox, and I used Internet Explorer for a week, and it never came up. So today, I installed Firefox again, and that program came right back.
Right.
So I did a search, and the search shows me that I installed it when I installed, for just a short time, Chrome. It was one of the things that came with it. Chrome did not work for me, so I uninstalled it. But apparently it's still there. So I've got a printout where it says it's in the app registry path, and it gives me the whole pathway. How do I get rid of that plugin? Because it keeps giving me difficulty, brings pop-up ads of all sorts.
Yeah, well, most people consider the Coupon Companion to be a virus or malware.
Right. Yeah. First, it's unlikely that you installed it through Chrome. Because if you uninstalled Chrome, it would only work in Chrome.
Hmm.
So you must have installed it at some point in Firefox, which is why it doesn't work in Internet Explorer.
Okay.
So what you want to do is open Firefox.
Okay.
Go to Tools, Add-ons. You should find it in the list and click Uninstall.
Okay, good.
Then restart your browser, then shut down your browser. You may even want to restart the computer. That's up to you. But theoretically, it's gone now, and that should do it.
So in Tools and Firefox.
Right. If you decide to reinstall Chrome, you do the same thing. Tools extensions, they're called.
Okay.
In Chrome. And if you installed it in any other way, you can also go to Add Remove Programs. In 7, it's called Programs Features.
Perfect.
And then you can uninstall it there.
Great. And I had one other question that I thought of when you were talking about one of the emails that you received.
Yeah.
The prompt that keeps coming up that says, do you want us to store your password? I never want to store my password. I want to keep putting it in. How do I get that prompt to go away?
You don't.
Ah.
Well, maybe. It depends if it's coming from your browser or if it's coming from the website. In your browser, there are often a setting under passwords to ask you if you want to fill in passwords. You can usually turn that off in the browser preferences.
Right.
If it's coming from the server, then there's not much you can do at your end.
Okay, so I'll check settings again, like in Firefox.
You got it.
Perfect. Okay, thank you very much. Love the show.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a slightly longer break. You've wasted an entire hour of your life listening to us, but you get to do it again on the other side of the news and stuff, because we're going to be right back with a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. It's Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 59 minutes after the hour, soundbites on the solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Steve from Greece, New York, on the line. Welcome, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. Nick, I'm going to use that dirty word, restore. I mean, I know you don't like it, but it's a tool, and it's saved my life before. Anyway, I, for some reason, am not setting restore points. I've basically gone in, done everything I can. I've been on the net, looked here, looked there. This is how you do it. Follow step by step. The only restore points I have are the ones I manually set. Even if one of my programs, before they go in, like I think it's Malwarebytes or one of those, sets a restore point,
right?
They're not there. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I once a day set a restore point. That's all I want to do, so I can go back. I've got 25 gig reserved for doing it.
What version of Windows are you using?
Ultimate 7.
Okay. Did you turn off System Restore at any point?
No.
Check.
And try turning it off, rebooting, and then turning it back on.
Yeah, you can manually turn it off, and you may have done that at some point.
Well, when I first checked the settings, the history was turned off,
right?
And I turned that back. I turned that on.
Okay, that's good. But you also, you also ought to check in the disk cleanup utility.
Disk cleanup utility? Okay, I didn't check there.
Yeah, check there in the disk cleanup tab. And actually more options in under, both of those places. Check to see if,
more options under what,
in the disk cleanup utility, there's a tab for more options.
Okay.
Check that and the actual disk cleanup tab itself. Because you can turn System Restore off. And it not only deletes all the System Restore points, but it doesn't let you set another one until you turn System Restore on per drive.
Okay.
So if you turned it off on the drive itself, then you can't set System Restore points until you turn it back on again.
All right. Well, I mean, I set a manual point just to check it, and that was on 528, and that's still there. But my daily supposedly set up to record is not doing that.
Right. So check to make sure. Well, because you can override it, but if it's off in general, then it's off. So check that and make sure that it's not off.
The only thing you've got is on the disk cleanup tab and look for more options, and
Well, look at it everywhere that you can, you know, because there's the system restore in the as well. But
system properties.
System properties. Thank you. Check it both places because there really are kind of two. You can turn it off for the entire system, and you can turn it off on a per drive basis. If you've turned it off on a per drive basis, even turning it on for the system doesn't do it.
Well, and here's something that Windows 7 will only create an automatic restore point if no restore points have been created in 7 days. So it only makes one a week. It doesn't make one a day.
Well, one of the options was do it daily, do it weekly.
Right, right. But again, if you've turned that off on a particular drive or universally, then it won't create them.
Okay.
And even if it says it's on, but it's obviously not because it's not making them, turn it off, reboot, and then turn it back on again and reboot. Right. Maybe it's the setting isn't writing the registry entry right.
It could get stuck.
Record stuck.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you for the show. I appreciate you guys doing this. Keep doing it.
Well, we'll try. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. Bye-bye. The nice thing about Windows is it is very flexible. The bad thing about Windows is it's very flexible, and if you turn something off in the wrong place, finding it again is not that easy.
And if he has a registry problem, so it says it's on, but it isn't really working, that could point to registry corruption, which is almost impossible to fix.
Right, which is really
unless
really
you can
horrible.
Go back to a restore point from before it corrupted.
But he said he made a restore point, so it's unlike. Well, that was a manual one, so yeah. Right. I don't know.
And that could be why the why the automatic one isn't working because it was less than 7 days ago. He made the manual one.
Right. All right. Our next caller is Joe from
Tawaga,
New York. Hi, Joe. What do you know?
Well,
just got back from Kokomo. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh.
I'm stuck in the 40s, which is before I was born, but go ahead, Joe.
Oh, it's such a tough crowd there in studio, I hear. I have a Roku, and I really love it. I'm not cutting the cord entirely because I still get my internet service through Time Warner Cable.
Yep. Right.
And they're not necessarily perfect islands. For example, I can add the Amazon Instant Video channel to my Roku. I don't have to go buy an Amazon Fire TV or something
that's
like that. It's not perfect, but I see your point that there will be some exclusives. Like, there's no way I'm going to be seeing House of Cards because I don't subscribe to Netflix.
Right.
The one thing I would caution the person that was considering cord cutting, though, is if they do have cable TV, be very careful about saying, oh, I don't want any TV, because part of their charges is based on the combined package of having some TV and internet. It could actually be more expensive to have just internet than to have internet plus just basic local channels only TV. Yep.
So you could cut off the extra pay channels. You could cut off or cut down on the number of premium channels you're getting, and still have you know basic cable, you know, the 2 through 15 or whatever it is. But then on the other half of that coin, the HBO Go app that you can get on a lot of these devices will not work unless you have an HBO television subscription.
Oh, yes, very true.
And that's very frustrating as well. We want to watch the show. We don't necessarily want HBO for the whole month. You know, I just want to watch, you know, Game of Thrones. I don't want to watch everything on HBO.
Right.
One of the very frustrating things, speaking of that, if on Roku you add the Fox channel to watch Family Guy, The Simpsons, and whatever, it asks you, oh, okay, who's your cable provider?
Yep.
Well, I put in Time Warner Cable.
Time Warner's not
and
on the list.
They don't participate. Comcast participates. Charter participates. A whole bunch of participating cable companies, but Time Warner, for whatever reasons, does not participate in that particular
because
program.
Because Fox wants money, and Time Warner won't pay Fox extra. They're already paying Fox to run Fox on... This is my supposition. They're already paying Fox to get Fox on the cable, which I always thought it was the other way around. Fox should pay Time Warner to be carried.
Right.
but they don't want to pay extra to go through the internet playback as well. But fortunately, at least Fox is part of the basic cable, so you don't need anything extra for that. But it won't work through Time Warner.
Yeah. And one thing I can suggest, too, if you're having trouble getting the stream because it says that the stream is full, I don't know exactly how the routing goes on it, but if you can actually tune in, unquote, WGMC through tunein.com. And I've added the TuneIn channel to my Roku, and I was able to actually listen to the WGMC stream through my Roku when it said, through M Player, you're using all your slots.
Yep.
Right. Because they reserve a certain number of slots for that.
Well, it's like our audio stream here. We've got 100 count available, and if 101 people try to connect, they may not be able to.
Right.
Yeah, forget it.
Yeah, I bought a Sony Blu-ray player because my DVD player died. I went to buy one, and this was on special. It was actually cheaper to buy the Blu-ray than it was to buy the regular one, so I did. It comes with a whole bunch of apps, including Netflix and Hulu and a bunch of others. So I set it up and unplugged my Roku box. I actually did not have the last connection undone before my daughter grabbed it out of my hands and said, I'm taking this to school with me.
Liked it that much, huh?
Yep.
Well, yeah, because she couldn't. There's a lot of stuff she can't get there, but she had my Roku box now, which I'm still paying for, by the way. I mean, I'm still paying for the Roku.
The service. Amelia, about time for you to start paying for that, too.
Yeah.
And what's really nice is a lot of these boxes are so cheap. You know, the Roku box starts at $50. The Google Chromecast is $35. You know, $100, you know, for the high-end Roku, for the Apple TV, for the Amazon Fire, you know, that's still pretty cheap compared to, you know, $100 a month for cable TV.
Yep.
So you could get two or three of the boxes. And so Roku's got a lot of weird channels. You've got the, what, Hong Kong Cinema?
Hong Kong Cinema.
Yeah.
Of course, now we have on basic cable, or at least on channel 145, we have El Rey, which has Thursday night kung fu movies.
Yeah, his chances, though.
So we're good.
Getting away from that? Two.
Yeah.
Slim?
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
Dad!
Yeah.
I don't understand, though. How are you? I'm not paying any monthly subscription fee for my Roku. How come you are?
No, no. It's not the Roku box. It's Netflix.
Oh, the services that are associated with that.
Netflix and Amazon.
Yeah, so some of the services on the box have an additional fee. Netflix, Hulu, you know, ESPN. Some of the sports networks, they'll have an additional fee, but generally the set-top box itself is a one-time fee.
Right. I beg your pardon if I made it seem like I was paying for the Roku. I'm paying for Netflix.
Well, the odd thing is, in order to use your Roku at all, you have to create an account on Roku's site, and you have to enter credit card information. I've never used that particular credit card information,
and
it can no longer be used because the number I gave them was it's one of those programs where you generate a credit card number that's linked to your primary account. Well, the credit card company that does that discontinued that program, so if they try to charge that number, they're not going to have much success at all.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes the channel is a wrestling channel now on Apple TV.
Great.
Sometimes the service on the box will use the box's credit card billing. So and sometimes they want their own direct credit card billing. So it depends on what deals that the box company has made with the service company.
That's true. Well, thank you very much for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you, Joe. Have fun. The big thing about all of these is they're essentially all the same service.
Yeah, and virtually all of them have Netflix and Hulu.
And Crackle
is big.
Flickr and this and that.
Apple added Crunchyroll, so if you want anime.
Right.
So and the Roku has the Hong Kong Cinema. So there are minor's not quite the right Second tier. Yeah, there are second tier channels that are available on one box and not the other box. But all the boxes have Netflix and Hulu. You know, the biggest streaming providers.
Right, right, right. So yeah, it's whichever one you get, it now becomes some sort of religious issue. I got Roku back in the day when there wasn't much but Roku.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when I got the Sony Blu-ray player, I saw it had everything I was really using the Roku box for at the time.
Yep.
Now there are a couple of things on Roku that I don't have. But again, every time I upgrade, you know, every once in a while I just go check, see if there's an upgrade, and I get a couple more channels. So, you know, it's all going to come around eventually. Nobody's going to lose out on anything.
One good thing, though, to invest in, soundbar.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're happy with your soundbar.
Oh. Do you like to watch movies where things explode?
Well, just regular TV, though.
I like Gladiator
movies. The sound. Yeah. Just a regular TV programs.
Yeah.
The clarity. I mean, I'll admit, I am...
Most TVs come with such crappy speakers in them. And some of that, I think, is because they expect you to have a home theater speaker system.
Well, for me... But,
hey, let me talk about that for a minute. Beats.
Yes.
I actually listened to a pair of Beats headphones the other day. They're crap.
Beats? But it's got wait a minute.
Dr. Dre's name on it. How can it be crap?
Wait a minute. What's Beats?
It's a headphone that Apple bought for $3 billion.
Well, the rumors, it was $3.2 billion.
Yeah, it is 3.2.
Well, no, it isn't. Dr. Dre and Jimmy, whatever his name is, the other guy, sort of pre-announced this. They lost $200 million out of it because Apple only paid $3 billion for real.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Chrome. Oh, this is an interesting story. It's been a long time coming, but as of Tuesday, Chrome users on Windows can only install extensions from Google's own Chrome web store. Google argues this is meant to keep malicious extensions, which are often installed from third-party sites, in check. Users who have already installed extensions from third-party sites may find they have been disabled and cannot be re-enabled or reinstalled. The only way to get them back up and running is by installing them through the Chrome web store, assuming the developer has made them available there. Google first announced its plans for this move last November. At the time, it told developers who were hosting their extensions themselves to migrate to the web store as soon as possible. At that time, the company said it would start enforcing this policy at the beginning of this month, but some developers weren't quite ready yet, so the company decided to delay those changes until this week. As a result, chances are that the impact of the announcement will be relatively limited and that you won't notice anything unusual. If some of your extensions stop working, though, now you know why. Developers will continue to be able to install extensions locally. Businesses can also enable local installs through their enterprise policies. In addition, users on the developer channel will also be unaffected by these changes. Does this sound like a good idea? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. I know why they did this. This is because by putting them in the store, then Google can scan them for maliciousness. Mm-hmm.
Which is better than just the Wild West that it has been.
Right.
But as Apple has found out, the bad guys still can sneak bad stuff in.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And researchers can sneak bad stuff in to
That's always going to still happen. I mean...
Right. That's always going to happen. At least they're taking steps to make it less of a problem.
Well, that's the key. That at least they're being proactive to it, you know?
Right, right. So it's a... I think it's a good move. I think it's a long time coming. I think it makes it a little more difficult for a very few people, but for the vast majority of people, it's a good thing. Developers, yes, will have to actually go through the pain of registering with Google, which is about a 30-second process.
And usually you do that anyway to get the development toolkits, right?
Right.
Yeah, duh.
So...
Now, does Google take a cut of paid apps? I know on free apps, there isn't a cut.
That's a very good question. I think so. I think they probably do. I don't know what that cut is. I have made a few apps. They were homegrown things that actually were just links to websites. So creating them as apps is ridiculously simple. And I didn't bother publishing them because you could just go to the website. Big deal. But it exists.
But they're handy tools.
They're handy tools. They're there.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a checklist somewhere that says, you know, has app, has whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Same thing with iPhone or
I mean, apps have become so darn useful. I mean, one that very simple one that I love using is for Wegmans.
Yep.
Now, what I like about that is I can sit there and figure out what I want to get. Put in the list. It in the app tells you exactly what aisle per store to go to find it.
And I like how it sorts your shopping list by aisle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Elaine knows all that. She actually does that in her head for four different stores, by the way.
And when they move something, it throws you off.
It makes her insane-er when that happens.
No, I can't. Kathy can do that. I can't.
I can't do it.
Me neither. I need the app on the phone. Sit there and say, I know that this is over here. She'll go, yeah, I know that. Okay.
The few times Elaine actually sends me to the store with a list, she actually tells me, now just go up and down the aisles once and you will find everything in order. And if you don't see something and you come to the next thing,
wait a minute.
Backtrack.
She puts it in order for you?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry, I did not hear that part.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When I get a shopping list, it's in order. If you start from the
very beginning,
right in the door, down an aisle, up an aisle, down an aisle, up an aisle. By the time you're finished, if you've been paying any attention at all, you have everything in your cart.
She's good.
She's better than good. There's no question. Whoa. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't need the app. I have Elaine.
Get an app named Elaine.
Yeah, I know. What's the T-shirt that says, I don't need Google, my wife knows everything?
Yeah.
So, yeah, same idea. Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So you got to rename
your Google. She's not listening,
now.
But there will be two people telling her about this shortly.
And somebody's going to be telling somebody else for me.
I have to rename your Google now, Elaine.
Yeah, right.
And it looks like Google is 30%, just like Apple and Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What was the other? The Amazon. Apple is appealing the iBook monopoly judgment scam. $116 million payment that Apple got charged for being for price fixing in the iBook store.
Yeah.
And their biggest events is that we were trying to break Amazon's monopoly. And so Amazon is now preventing a publisher's books from showing up on time.
Hatchet,
yeah. And so one of the tech reporters was saying, so Amazon is using its monopoly power to prevent a publisher from getting books online, so we better fine Apple again.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, so that was Apple's biggest legal point during that whole trial, is that they were forcing Amazon to basically rearrange their rules. It used to be a 70-30 split, but Amazon took 70% instead of 30%. So Apple takes 30%, and they got Amazon to switch that. Amazon can dictate what publishers charge for books, when they go on sale. And so Apple's defense was we're trying to break the Amazon monopoly, but okay, yeah, I guess we fixed some
Forget
of our prices.
Forget that ain't happening.
Yeah.
Right.
Hmm.
I'm a huge reader and I've been reading. But you know what? You can still get those books at other sites.
Yeah.
Right. So that proves that Amazon is using their monopoly powers against the publishers.
Right. But it also means they're using it against themselves. If I can't buy the book from Amazon, I'll buy it from
Borders.
From Borders.
Yeah.
Or from Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. That's what I'm...
Yep.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And there's other places popping up that are starting to offer books.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right. Oh, I gotta talk about this. The Microsoft, Skype.
Tell me they're not going to try to get their hands on it because they'll mess that up.
No, they already own it. They've owned it for a couple years now.
They have?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wait a minute.
And they put a back door in for the NSA to listen to.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Microsoft bought a product and hasn't screwed it up?
Oh, yeah, they've screwed it up, but they're unscrewing it up now. And here's the cool thing about it. Skype, it lets you communicate with people all over the world. The problem, of course, with video and with voice and with text chatting, the problem is, of course, if you don't speak the same language. So on Tuesday at the first annual Code Conference, Microsoft head of Skype and Link, Gurdeep Singh Pal, showed off a new speech-to-speech translation technology that the company is looking to introduce into future versions of its Skype products. The feature, which Skype is hoping to roll out in beta later this year, translates from one language to another in real time.
Whoa.
Well, let's call it near real time. As it was demoed, the feature translated Paul's speech from English into text for transcription on a colleague's screen in German, and also into voice in German, and vice versa. So he spoke English to somebody who only spoke German. They heard German and saw German on the bottom of their screen. That person spoke German back to him. He heard English and saw English on the bottom of his screen.
Whoa.
Yeah. Paul said Skype is about to bring people closer and break down barriers. This started with the idea of cheap international calling, expanded into face-to-face communications via video, and now it's taking on the challenge of breaking the language barrier. The feature was a collaboration between Skype, Bing, Microsoft's research lab, which has long been working on natural language processing and machine learning for a while. Language recognition is powered by the same technology as Microsoft's Cortana personal assistant on Windows 8.1. At the conference, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella said the feature would be available later this year, and that the company would try to launch it on as many devices and apps as possible. So, can the Universal Translator be far behind? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. I can see this being useful in business, but in terms of individuals, how many friends do you have with whom you cannot speak?
True.
But you could grow your friendship list.
Right.
Well, does anyone have pen pals anymore?
Right.
but it's usually them learning English, because heaven forbid an American try to learn another language.
We are Americans. We don't learn foreign languages. We just shout louder until you get it.
Yeah. And depending on what science fiction genre you are, it's either the Universal Translator from Star Trek or the Babelfish from Hitchhiker's Guide.
Right.
Stick a fish in your ear.
I think people would find it a little bit easier to carry around a little tube than to stick a fish in their ear. So that's actually a very clever idea. Skype has been moving forward pretty nicely. It used to be one-to-one only. Unless one person in the group was paying for premium, then you could have 10 people talking at once. Now that 10 person is free, just like it's always been on Google Hangouts.
That's probably why they had to do it.
But that's the one thing, though, I have said about Skype. It's been a great asset for our military.
Yeah.
In that they've been able to keep in touch with their family while they're overseas. You know, before it was just maybe a phone call here or there, you know, just for a few minutes, and you had to stand in line. I remember those days, standing in line to quick make a phone call just to say, hi, I'm doing okay, this and that. Now all they got to do is have their own laptop and internet service, and they can sit there and actually see and talk to their loved ones, free of charge. And I think that's helped with a lot of the stress.
Yeah,
because that can be very stressful, you know what I mean? Somebody's deployed and, you know, they're separated from their family and that, and things are going on and that, just to be able to, you know, help relieve tensions both ways.
Yep. And it's a beautiful thing.
It is. Goodness that has, you know, that's been around, because I know for my nephew he's done 4 tours, you know, that's been a great, great help.
Yep, it's a beautiful thing. The other thing I wanted to talk about is LG's G3, but we can talk about that after this next break because it's the new phone that's coming out. Wait to hear the specs on this one.
Uh-oh.
It's very, very cool. It's very, very cool. But yeah,
I typoed F3, and there is an LG F3 phone.
Yeah, there is.
So any random letter
a
phone?
With a 3 after it is a phone from LG. But the new G3 phone is pretty astonishingly amazing. But we'll talk about that after the next break. In the meantime, if you're on Skype, we don't do Skype here because it would not be good. I suppose we could figure out a way to hook it into the...
Well, part of the issue...
Someone
mentioned that about the Google Hangout, that one of the points of Google Hangout is that you interact with everyone.
Right.
But we're trying to broadcast a radio show, so we can't take any questions.
I'm not doing the Hangout right now.
Ustream is running, so you can watch us in the studio.
We've got the Ustream, so that works out fine. Excuse me, we've got the Ustream there. Something.
Yeah. When Dave walks back and forth, his picture gets bigger and smaller.
It looks like Dave's in a window behind us.
Picture-in-picture feature I found, so I don't have to keep manually switching.
Well, remember back in the day when we were at another studio, that's the way it was? Sat in one room.
And the producer sat in the other
room. And Rob was in another.
That's right.
We could sit there and make funny faces at him and he couldn't see us. Because he needed the step stool at the time to look up over the board.
No, that wasn't him. That was Hairband.
Yeah.
What was her name? All we could see is her Hairband.
We're friends on Facebook, too. And suddenly it's gone out of my head. I had it a second ago, and now it's gone. But I'll think of it, I'm sure. Or she'll...
I don't know why I thought Rob there for a minute.
No, Rob is a very tall man. I don't know if you've met him. He's a tall guy. Yeah, he's taller than you are.
So you complain about the mic being so high all the time.
Right.
Well, that's just been the past year that he's grown up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now that he's reached puberty. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Sound Bites. When we come back, we'll talk about the LG G3. And back with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we're talking a little bit about the LG G3 phone. It's the newest one. It's coming out very shortly. It's going to have a 5.5-inch display that will be quad HD. Instead of 1920 by 1280, it's 2560 by 1440, which is 4 times the pixels. It's got a pixel density of 538 pixels per inch.
That's laptop pixel size.
Yeah, it's better than Retina.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They're saying the screen is quite amazing.
Partly because that makes it easy to do. You just double the number of pixels in each direction. That's easier than trying to go half as many pixels to increase the pixels per inch.
Right. I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to find what the size of the camera is. I don't see it here. But one of the interesting things is. It's laser focus. Oh, 13 megapixel camera, optical image stabilization, and a laser autofocus system.
Freaking lasers.
It's laser beams, man. It's actually changed the default camera mode because it's so confident about the speed and reliability. When you tap the screen, the G3 focuses and shoots at the same time, it's immediate. The front-facing camera also has a wider aperture, new gesture detection that will snap a selfie when you clench a fist in front of it. So we'll see a million photos like this. So it looks pretty cool, actually. That laser focus, low light is supposed to be very good, reduce blur and shaking. It has a new... The only thing I've never liked is the LG user interface. They say that's gotten a lot better. They have a knock code, so you can create a pattern, a tap pattern. They have a smart keyboard, which I like a lot.
So it's... You know, it's the latest and greatest phone, but the big problem in the phone world is in a couple of weeks, someone else's latest and greatest phone will come out.
Well, but we've talked about this for generations now.
When you're on a two-year plan, that sucks.
Right. Jump in somewhere along the line.
Yeah. There's always something better coming. If you wait for the next better thing, you're never going to have anything.
Right. It's going to be available globally via more than 170 characters. It should launch on May 28th in Korea, and the rest of the world will follow in June. It'll be available in metallic black, silk white, shine gold, moon violet, and burgundy red. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. I don't mean to change the subject much here, but you guys were just talking about the sound with TVs and surround systems and stuff like that. Yep. We've struggled for... so many years with getting DVDs where the sound, we don't watch action type stuff too much, where the sound levels just seem to go up and down too much. It seems like a lot of times movies even purposely will go from a quiet scene to a plane taking off as if they're trying to deliberately shock the audience. I don't know. But some of the our audience at home is a little bit of hard hearing, but most of us can hear just fine. But we struggle with this constant up and down and just hearing the dialogue.
Yeah, here's the worst part. The dialogue is the quietest part of every movie.
Right, right.
In the background, you can hear all the birds screeching and the background music and the explosions and the guns. And then somebody says something like this.
Right, right.
It makes me insane.
Is there anything... We used to have this little device about 10 years ago that supposedly moderated the volume. It didn't really work, though.
No.
So is there any suggestions? Should we go back to a surround system of some sort? Or
what? One of the things that I've seen work is if you have an equalizer in your surround system, you can lower the low end where those explosions and airplane noises take place, and raise the mid and high where the voices take place.
Okay.
And then that can help a little bit, but you need an equalizer in your stereo system.
Many televisions now have multiple settings. And if you go into the settings for audio, you might see one for voice.
Or even bass and treble.
And that essentially does the same thing.
Yeah, lower the bass, raise the treble.
Right. And you can also, you know, as Steve said, raise the treble, lower the bass.
That's interesting. I've never seen anything relating to voice. Is this the much newer TV?
Well, I bought a TV last year, and one of the things is in audio, you have presets. So you've got concert, and you've got standard, and you've got voice.
Right.
That works pretty well, but I still, as Steve says, I found it actually worked better for me because I'm in that same issue. I'm losing my hearing in the voice range. Everything else is fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we have.
Same here.
Yeah, so what I did was I raised the treble to 100% and dropped the bass to about 40%.
Okay.
One thing that Steve pointed out, and I'll totally agree with him, like I said, I've turned the sound on my TV totally off, and I use just the sound bar.
Right.
So the soundbar has, you know, and it's got its own separate wireless subwoofer. And tones and everything else, I can hear better. Because, like you say, if I go into a room and there's a lot of noise going on and somebody's talking, I have to turn my right ear towards them. But otherwise, I don't hear it.
Right.
Complaint used to be that the commercials were too loud. You'd be listening to a soft dialogue.
I am so sick and tired of commercials.
Yeah, they definitely do that deliberately. I mean, there's...
Watch television with the remote in my hand. I mute the minute the commercials come on. If they want me to listen to their commercials, don't make them so loud.
Right, right. I totally agree. Dave, you were mentioning something about something that you use.
I bought an LG soundbar.
Except it's really more of a sound system. It's got more than just a bar.
There are several companies making things called soundbars. We sell the Sonos system. And it's a single bar that you put in front of your television that gives you surround sound. So you don't have to run wires to get rear speakers.
Oh.
It digitally tricks the sound to fire out the side to bounce around the room, and it makes it sound like it's coming from behind. Although Sonos does have wireless speakers, so you can have rear speakers,
right.
And all you need to do is plug in power. You don't need to run an audio wire.
I just found with this, like I say, I happen to pick the LG. I listen to them all, and I like the quality of the LG. The clarity and everything else was just phenomenal, that I'm able to hear things better, and, you know, it just made it listening to TV a little more pleasurable, because like you, I'd sit there and I crank it all the way up because the voices go so low and I'm missing on half of what they're saying.
It's called LG Soundbar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. This one Steve has is called Sonos.
The Sonos Playbar. Same concept. And so usually in the bar, which is a horizontal thing like mm-hmm. 3 or 4 feet long,
yeah.
That will have your left and right and center. And often it will have the rear left and rear right, and then it will have a separate subwoofer
wirelessly
for the big bass. So if you want a lot more bass, you can turn the subwoofer up.
Now let me caution you that there is going to be some sticker shock with these.
Oh, okay, I was going to ask.
These ain't cheap.
Okay.
What I'm thinking about doing is just getting myself. Oh, I have several already, a decent pair of headphones, and just plug them into the television and put those on and see if that helps.
Mine was $250.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Now, Dave, is this what you were talking about 15 minutes ago?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, I'm definitely going to check out. It's worth it because we've been struggling with this for a long time. So, okay, I'm all set. Thanks for your time.
Sure.
Good. Before you spend any money, though... check to see if your system will let you change the treble and the bass and all of that stuff
mm-hmm.
First, because that may be all you need. Although, in general, television speakers are crap.
Yeah, I agree. And I absolutely will. I'll look for that.
Okie doke.
Okay, thanks again.
Thanks. Okay. Bye.
I remember using my tax refund, must be 10 years ago now, to buy a really nice 5.1 surround sound system for almost $1,000.
Yep.
And now it's starting to feel old. And my wife has vacuumed the wires so many times
that
I got to rewire all the rear speakers again. So I've been looking at some of these wireless speakers, which is so handy.
Yeah.
In fact, we really like the Sonos system, you know, so much that we started selling them in our store. As a wireless speaker, you can stream it from your computer, from your iDevice, internet music sources, Spotify and Pandora and all those things. And because it's wireless, especially now we're getting into summer, you unplug the power, so it still needs power, and you take it out on a patio, plug it in, and now you got music.
Yep.
And you can put different music to different speakers in your house, or the same music to all the same speakers in the house. So these really neat new wireless speaker systems are becoming very handy.
Nice. I'm just going to try plugging a couple of computer speakers in. They have the big computer speakers. We'll see what that does. Listen, I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. But I also believe we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to make sure that he doesn't completely screw it up. And we'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you next week.